I just brushed by it. I told you they were a group of demons. Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe and the rest of that crowd making the Red Chinese Army 200 million. 200-man army, the Red Chinese. The problem is, before Hal Lindsey was ever born, centuries ago, they made it Genghis Khan in his day, and then they made it Attila the Hun. They've been trying to make those literal men for a long time. They're either demons, or they're men possessed by demons, and they don't have a thing to do with the Red Chinese Army. Now, the sixth trumpet, to me, is the most difficult trumpet in the entire Bible, the most difficult passages to understand. You've got to understand that John was having a heavenly vision, and just like John could see what was going on in the spiritual world, he could see the demons that were over there in the spiritual world, and if you could see the angels now, they're demonic beings in this room right now. They can take on any form they want. Now, that's an interesting thing about demons. They're able to take on virtually any form they want. Under certain conditions, they can possess human beings. And so John saw these terrible creatures that had hair like men, had hair like women, a face like a man, armor-plated chest, wings. They had crowns on their head. Bodies were armor-plated. They had tails like scorpions. That was on the blowing of the fifth trumpet. Now, all of a sudden, you've got the sixth trumpet. And you've got a great army of 200 creatures that suddenly appear out of nowhere. And you've got men riding on horses, or creatures riding on horses, and you've got creatures, horses. It's interesting. You know, when we closed that fifth trumpet, I talked about the fact there were three realms of angels. Michael's realm, Gabriel's realm, and the realm of Lucifer. And I went into great detail as to what each one was made by God to do. Lucifer's angels were placed over the physical, material kingdom of the earth long ago. And I told you what Satan did that caused his fall. Lucifer became Satan. And I believe when a third of the angels fell from heaven, that they were from all three realms, Gabriel's, Michael's, and Lucifer's. The Satans. Gabriel's angels have little power. They're primarily used to dispense and carry messages, while Michael's angels are extremely powerful creatures. Lucifer's angels were put over the original creation to protect it. I'm not sure of this, but I strongly suspect that those angels that come out of the bottomless pit are from Michael's realm. Now we see men riding on horses. I believe the creatures, I'll call them creatures riding on horses, are from Gabriel's realm. They apparently don't have any power of their own. They're merely directing the ones who do have the power. And the horses probably represent the demons from Lucifer's realm who have enough power to destroy the creation that they were originally put over. But first of all, I want to be very honest with you. This is the most difficult trumpet to interpret, so we're going to take some time on it. And we're going to spend at least two sessions on this, and I think you'll find it very interesting. Revelation 8:13. Now, in Revelation 8:13, we have just finished the blowing of the fourth trumpet. We talked about how the sun, moon, and stars disappeared, how the smoke from the volcanic eruptions, the fire and the brimstone kept building up a layer above the tropopause level where the sun, moon, and stars disappeared. So now this is closing the fourth trumpet. Revelation 8. And I beheld, and behold, an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." Not telling a horse to stop. He's just saying, "Woe, woe, woe." "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets are the trumpets of woe. They are pre-wrath trumpets. The wrath of God is not poured out until after the rapture occurs on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. But this is actually pre-wrath woes. There are three of them. On the blowing of the seventh trumpet, the rapture occurs. All the saved are taken out. And then the wrath of God is poured out in the seven vials of wrath. Now, here come the pre-wrath woes. Here's the first woe. Woe, woe, woe. It's the fifth trumpet. Here's the second woe. The sixth trumpet. Here's the third woe. The seventh trumpet. So you've got three woes coming up, coming on mankind, that are not the wrath of God. They are woes that come upon man, but the wrath of God isn't poured out until the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Now I'm going to tell you what I believe about the sixth trumpet, and then I'm going to show you why I believe it. The sixth trumpet, the four angels of the Euphrates River are leased to kill one-third of all mankind. The word that's used for man there is anthropon, which means all of mankind. Now let's put something in perspective here. They're going to destroy a third of mankind. The present population, as I'm speaking of the earth, is 6 billion. That means it's going to take about, destroy about 2 billion. Okay? Now remember back on the sixth seal, we had a fourth of mankind wiped out by the war, the famine, the pestilence, and death, and wild beasts of the field. That's about 1.5 billion. So by this time, if you just take those two things from the sixth seal and now the sixth trumpet, you've wiped out 3.5 or 3.5 billion people have been killed. That's pretty staggering, but that's what's going to happen because the Bible says so. Well, what does that leave you with? You're left with 2.5 billion people on the earth. However, bear in mind that since the actual sixth seal, when you had a fourth destroyed, that on the blowing of the seventh, but on the opening of the seventh seal, there was another great earthquake. And then you've had trumpets 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Think how many people were killed by these episodes. My guess is by this time, we're down to about 1 billion people left on the earth. In other words, we've had a tremendous casualty rate. The four angels of the Euphrates River are released to kill one-third of all mankind. They have the power to collect an army of 200 million demon-possessed humans. Now, I believe these are demon-possessed humans. But of one thing I'm certain, they're demons. Now, I may be wrong about them being possessed humans. They're all over the earth when this happens. And how are they possessed and why are they possessed? These humans open the door. This is about the time of the mark of the beast. Those people who take the mark of the beast are going to be demon-possessed, possessed by these demons. And these demons are going to take them over. They will be demon-possessed. They will be sealed in their charge. They will forever belong to Satan. Now, whether these are actual human beings on these horses or not, I cannot say. I'm certain they're demons. I'm certain of that. But they may be human beings possessed by demons. They have the power to collect an army of 200 million demon-possessed humans. They may be demons, or they may be humans possessed by demons. These humans or demons ride upon the power of Satan, symbolized by horses upon which they ride. It's the horses that are doing the destroying. They may represent fallen angels from Satan's realm, whereas back on the fifth trumpet, they were from Michael's realm, and the ones riding them may be from Gabriel's realms, which have no power. But they are the messengers, and they do direct, and I believe they're giving a message to man, and they're directing these fallen angels of Satan, which are the horses upon which they ride. These indwelling demons use the power of Satan to release the elements of fire, smoke, and brimstone out of the earth. Out of the horses' symbolic mouths pour smoke and brimstone, while their tails picture fiery streams of lava flowing away from its source in serpent-like trails, to collect in head-like pools at trail end. The 200 million have just taken the mark of the beast before the blowing of the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet is about to sound, at which time all the saved shall be raptured. The 200 million are scattered across the earth at the blowing of the sixth trumpet and are killing at random all over the earth, but later they will all be drawn to Israel at the pouring out of the sixth vial, which is in Revelation 16. At this particular point in time, you're actually seven chapters away from the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is Revelation 16, 16. We're in the ninth chapter. We're seven chapters away from it. So we're not at the Battle of Armageddon, and these aren't 200, a great army of red Chinese gathered for the final Battle of Armageddon way back here on the blowing of the sixth trumpet. So Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe on this are just absolutely, completely, utterly wrong. And that's what most preachers today believe and teach, and it's wrong. Revelation 9, 11 through 17. I'm just going to read it, then we're going to talk about it. Revelation 9, 17. We start off 9, 11 through 17. We ended up on the blowing of the fifth trumpet. Now we're on the sixth. Here we are on the fifth trumpet. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means destroyer, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, destroyer. One woe is past. That's the fifth trumpet. And behold, there come two woes more thereafter. That's the sixth and seventh trumpet. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. These four angels have been confined there for a particular purpose and mission, and now they are unleashed. They are, if you will, four of Satan's generals that are going to have control over this great army of demons. Whether they be demons or humans possessed by demons, I cannot say, but they're going to have control over this army. And the four angels were loosed and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, which is 200 million. And I heard the number of them. Now, John did not count them. John did not count them. It's kind of hard to count 200 million. But he heard. Notice it says, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. Now before we go through this, line by line, verse by verse, and we're going to go through from 9:17 to 9:21 eventually, there's some things I need to cover and talk about, so I think it'll be more readily understandable. What is this? It's a vast army of fallen angels, demons. A vast army of fallen angels, demons, begin to destroy the earth they were created to protect, using it to destroy its inhabitants with fire, smoke, and brimstone from its interior. They possess the men who have taken the mark of the beast, 666, seal them in their choice, and they are forever doomed, and shift the plates. This is a shifting of the tectonic plates at an accelerated rate. What you're going to see are things that are like the roaring of a lion. That's exactly what a volcanic eruption sounds like, the roaring of a lion. It throws out fire, and it throws out smoke. This is when you have all hell break loose on the earth. And what's going to kill one-third of the world's population, 2 billion people, are the tremendous, unbelievable powers that are unleashed from the earth. Now, if this sounds far-fetched, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm going to show you as regards the control that God assigned to different groups of angels. The first earth protector and his angels began to destroy what they were created to protect. I believe this sixth trumpet is a destruction of the earth, basically by the fallen angels of Lucifer, who along with Lucifer were put over the earth to protect it, and Lucifer sinned by trying to create life, and all of creation fell between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. So the first earth protector, Satan, and his angels, which were assigned the same task, now they begin to destroy what they were created to protect. Now remember, we're on the sixth trumpet. Now let's take a look at the seventh trumpet that follows, and I think you'll find the first and last part of this interesting. This is the rapture. This is when they're caught out. This is the next trumpet, the seventh trumpet. And the nations were angry. Now the nations are not gathered together at this time, because even here in chapter 11, that's five chapters away. So the nations are angry. These people, these demons, are possessing those that are taking the mark of the beast, already have possessed many. And thy wrath has come. This means God's wrath hasn't come up until this time, but his wrath is coming right after the seventh trumpet when the vials of wrath are poured out. And the time of the day that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. This is when all the saved are resurrected and judged for rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I began that verse when the nations were angry. They're being demon-possessed at this time. A large part of the world's population are following the Antichrist. Now notice the last part. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. When the seventh trumpet rapture occurs, then God begins to destroy these creatures, or possessed humans, or a combination of both, that are bringing about the destruction of the earth with fire and brimstone and smoke. Now, let's take a look at the history of Lucifer. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 28, 14 and 15. Satan was the original created cherubim, angel, if you will, heavenly being, who was placed over all of creation. Ezekiel 28, 14 and 15. Thou art the anointed, the chosen one, the appointed one, the commissioned one. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. What was he supposed to cover? He was supposed to be the covering and protecting angel of all of God's creation. And I have set thee so. God made him to be that. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. He stood in the presence of God. He was with God. He was one of the archangels. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He was placed over the whole creation. The stones of fire are what people saw when they looked up at night and saw the stars. They looked like stones of fire. He was passed over. He was actually put over the whole creation in the beginning when God created him. He was responsible for the protection and the overseeing of the entire universe. So were all his angels. Verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the days thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You've heard me teach exactly what I believe Lucifer did. You've heard me go into great detail on it. And I believe his sin was to try to create life. Then creation fell between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and I'm not going to go back and elaborate on that. Now, let's take a look at Revelation 12, 3 and 4, 7 through 9, and 13 and 17. Bear in mind, Satan's angels, Lucifer's angels, and Lucifer were created to protect the earth. So here in Revelation, after they are cast out of heaven, they are going to try to destroy, the very thing they were created to protect. Revelation 12 and 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. This is Lucifer. The seven heads are seven great nations that have persecuted Israel in the past. First, the Egyptian Empire, into which they were under their bondage. Then the Assyrian Empire, which carried the northern kingdom into captivity. Then the Babylonian Empire, which carried all of Israel into captivity, particularly the southern kingdom. Then after that, the empire of the Medes and the Persians. Then after that, the empire of Alexander the Great, the Macedonian or Grecian Empire. Then after that, the Roman Empire. And the final seventh empire will be the empire of the Antichrist. The ten horns are the ten kings or the ten nations in the last days, which I believe will come out of the old revived Roman Empire and consist of ten Arab nations. And the seven crowns represent the kings of these nations, overall rulership of the evil rulership of these kingdoms that have affected and persecuted Israel. But this is Lucifer. I want you to notice in verse 4, Revelation 12, 4, and his tail, that is Lucifer's tail, Satan's tail, when Lucifer fell, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven here are represent the angels of God. The third part of the angels chose to follow Lucifer. I believe that there were some from Michael's realm, some from Gabriel's realm, and some from Lucifer's realm. I believe some of the angels that were created to be with Lucifer stayed with God. I believe some of them that were created to be messenger angels like Michael, I believe they stayed with God. I believe some of them that were Michael's angels stayed with God. I believe some of them from each realm fell with Satan. And the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. At this particular point in time, in the distant past, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, Satan tried to take the original life forms that God had placed here, small, microscopic, perfect life forms, and he tried to actually manipulate them and turn them into a creature to rule over the earth for himself. That was his sin. All creation fell, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, that was the initial fall of Satan. However, we know for a fact, by the first two chapters of the book of Job, that Satan still has access to God. Otherwise, he could hardly be called the accuser of the brethren. The Bible indicates he accuses man before God day and night. Now, Satan cannot come before God at his own choosing. He has to be invited. The door has to be opened. He cannot just walk up to God anytime he wants, but he still has access to God in heaven. Now, at this particular point in time, we're getting to where Satan is cast out. When Satan is cast out, all he's got is the earth. He no longer has access to God, nor do any of his angels, fallen angels. He's confined to the earth. At this point in time, without any access to God, he begins to destroy the earth, and the angels that fell with him begin to do the same. Now we're going to switch to Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. This is a casting out that's going to occur in the tribulation period. It's going to occur after the middle of the week, between that and the seventh trumpet. And when it happens, this great war is going to go on in heaven for a certain period of time. Then they're going to be cast out. I believe when they are cast out, we're talking about the events of the three woes. I believe when Lucifer's cast out, you've got the fifth trumpet, you've got the sixth trumpet, you've got the seventh trumpet, and this is woe, woe, woe unto man, because Satan is on the earth, and the people that are on the earth are in great travail. This is not the wrath of God. This is Satan unloosing his fury upon the earth that he was originally created to protect, unleashing his fury upon it because he has been cast out of heaven and has lost the war with God's angel Michael. And prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The vast army of fallen demons then begins to destroy the people by using it to destroy its people by fire, smoke, and brimstone. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. This is when he really starts to lay it hot and heavy on the nation of Israel during these three woes. But it won't just be the nation of Israel. They'll suffer the brunt of it, but we're going to suffer the same thing on this earth before the seventh trumpet. Verse 14, and to the woman Israel were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly in the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and half a year, half a time, a half a year. That's 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. Now notice, verse 17. There are still children of God on the earth at this time. So people ask me, well, you think they're going to be saved people? Absolutely. Look at verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, that's Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed are believers who are saved during the tribulation period. They are there in the Negev, but I think they're all over the earth also. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be despised, they're going to be hated, they're going to be killed, they're going to be beheaded, because they will not take the mark of the beast. Now notice what it says about the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Those are saved people. So when the angels of Lucifer are cast out, Revelation 9:17, we're going to go line by line, verse by verse. Revelation 9:17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. That's an interesting verse of Scripture for several reasons. First of all, I want you to notice you have fire. I want you to notice you have brimstone. And I want you to notice that out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. The only difference you see here, you got fire, you got jacinth, and you got brimstone. But then it repeats the same thing and says fire and smoke and brimstone. Jacinth is a precious stone. Guess what color it is? Smoky blue. If you've ever seen smoke come up, it has a blue tint to it. This particular precious stone is what they call a smoky blue. It's the same three things. Whoa, 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 whoa! And goes off. As it roars, it actually spits forth fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now remember, Satan's angels were created to protect the earth. They still have control over it. And now, since they've been cast out of heaven, they see no reason to preserve it, and they are trying to destroy it. And that's what these horses are doing. But here, we're talking about the horses as the heads of lions. Now, these men on there don't seem to have any great power themselves. The horses are the ones that have the power. The mouths that they issue out of, I believe, present and represent volcanic eruptions all over the earth, everywhere you see one of these tectonic plate boundaries. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. I want you to notice 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, the devil is pictured as a roaring lion. These demons are pictured with heads that roar like lions. The roaring is going to be the roaring of thousands of volcanic eruptions going on all over the earth, because at this time Satan is cast to the earth with all of his angels, fallen angels, and they are using the very earth they were created to protect to fulfill their own destiny by trying to destroy it. Remember what I showed you on the seventh trumpet. Revelation 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. You get irritated at me, you get mad at me, you get hateful toward me, you just want to get even, you want to say something spiteful back. Who do you think that is? Good old you? You think that's the Lord? No, it's you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got a creature in our flesh that's a monster that Johnny talked about this morning. And far too often we give into that creature, and we have much more emphasis on our own personal vindication rather than serving the kingdom of God. I made up my mind a long time ago that what was important was serving God. And if it takes my family's life, my own life, and anybody else's life, I'm going to serve God. You've got to make your own choice, and you've got to make your own decision. But the problem a lot of you all have, this is just a little dream to you, or a little teaching, a little interesting, and you never have made a real commitment of your life to it. You play a game with God and call it worship, and some of you don't have any idea what worship is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and if I tell you the truth, it makes you mad as a wet hen. Well, get mad as a wet hen. I'll see you at the judgment seat of Christ. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Revelation 9:17 through 18. We started off with Revelation 9:17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. Now, it's got horses and it's got people sitting on them. Now look at the people that sat on the horses, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. Jacinth is a smoky blue precious stone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. It's the horses that have the power. Those sitting on them merely are riding along on them, perhaps directing them. It may well be that those angels, fallen angels, that we saw from the fifth trumpet that come up out of the Abyssu Friatos, the bottomless pit, may represent angels from the realm of Michael that chose to follow Satan. These that ride the horses may be fallen angels from the reign of Gabriel, because they are carriers of messages and they are being carried from place to place on these horses. The horses may represent fallen angels from the realm of Lucifer, who were placed over the creation to protect it, and now they're using the earth to unleash the interior of the earth on the surface of the earth with volcanic eruptions whose mouths roar like lions, and who, after they have spit out their lava, it goes out in long flowing trails and collects at a pool at the very end, which looks just like a serpent's head. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. That's Japheth. Those are the three things. These are Lucifer's angels unquestionably releasing the power of God's earth over which they were set to protect upon mankind. By these three, that is fire, smoke, and brimstone, was the third part of man killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, take a look at Acts 2:19-21. We're talking about 200 million creatures, which may purely be fallen angels or demons from Gabriel's realm, or could be demon-possessed humans. I don't know which. But they're riding on horses, which may represent fallen angels from the realm of Lucifer. Notice what you find in Acts 2:19-21 and Joel 3:14-15. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The blood is hamar hamati. It's the blood of the earth. It's what you call lava. And fire, that's the fire that comes up out of the volcanic eruption. And vapor of smoke. The fire is like brimstone. The vapor of smoke is the same color as what you would call that particular stone, jacinth, that actually is a smoky blue. Now notice what happens. Continuing in Acts 2:19-21. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. God's wrath has not been poured out on the earth at this time. This is before that time. But on the actual sixth trumpet, it's about ready to be poured out. And you've got these ingredients that are coming up out of the earth. And it is my contention that Lucifer's angels have the power to unleash them. These four angels come out. They have the power to unleash them. And they are over this army of demonic beings. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is not going to withdraw his plan of salvation from the earth. The Holy Spirit, and as far as his indwelling, each local New Testament church may be taken out at this time. Only he who letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. But the Spirit of God is going to continue to convict souls on this earth. Not very many are going to listen, but people are going to be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even when the moon has disappeared and the sun has disappeared, still people are going to be saved, because the Holy Spirit will continue to convict, even though his dwelling place in a local New Testament churches will have been taken out. Now notice in verse 14, in Joel 3, 14 and 15, we're talking about 200 million creatures on horses. Regardless of whether these are demon-possessed humans at this time, I guarantee you eventually you'll have a lot more than 200 million people take the mark of the beast. And I guarantee you it's going to be a time of decision for men and women on this earth. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That's when you have wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord's coming. Some of you need to wake up and start making some decisions about being faithful to Christ. You need to quit playing games with the Lord and get serious. You need to put the church above anything else in your life, because it's the body of Christ. Now, I stand up here as your pastor and I tell you that. And if it makes you mad, it makes you mad. But some of you just play a little bit of a game with the Lord. You come and throw him a bone every once in a while. That's not God's will for your life. Never was. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do of his good pleasure. God put a church down here for you to worship in. That's exactly where you need to be. And if you're not there, you're out of God's will. And when all this happens, you're going to be mighty sorry, because you just played a little game with God and threw him a bone every once in a while and got the Holy Spirit off your back. You need to wake up, get serious, get in church, and start serving God the way you should, and quit being so cotton-pick and concerned about what everybody else is doing, and start being concerned about what you're doing in God's service. The sun and the stars shall be darkened. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You see, that's in Joel. Notice how all that correlates. Folks, you know one of the horrible things about this? Some of you sit out here, you haven't had to go through what I've gone through in these scriptures. You haven't had to study this. You don't know that what I'm showing is the truth. You're not sure of it, but I am. And most people do not know what's coming on this earth. You're sitting there fat, dumb, and happy, and you think that everything's just going to be typical new and Tyler too. I've had to dig into these things. I've had to look at it, and I'm telling you, I'm showing you what's going to happen, and I'm trying to give you warning. That's one of the horrible things about this. I know what's going to happen. And because I know what's going to happen, and I watch people try to play a game with God, they don't realize what's coming on this earth. Hell is coming on this earth. And it's real and it's genuine. Isaiah 5, 14 through 16. So who are these people? Some of you can't take hard preaching. Some of you wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve. I say one little bitty thing, and you just get all mad and headed up and run for tall cotton. Well, why don't you just take off and run for tall cotton? Go and find you a church where you can be happy, and the preacher will placate you and rub your wrist and tell you how nice you are. Brother, go right ahead. You don't belong here anyway. Isaiah 5, 14 through 16, 20 through 30. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Up until the blowing of the fifth trumpet, hell was confined within the interior of the earth. The only way something can enlarge itself is to get out and spread into other areas. The lava and the magma, the smoke, the fire, is going to expand out on the earth, and hell will enlarge itself. But that's not all that's coming up out of hell. Those creatures on the blowing of the fifth trumpet are coming up out of hell. And the mouths of hell are going to open. That's what those shaft abysses are. Hekles tufriatos tesabisu, the shaft of the abysses. That's what they are. That's what this fire and smoke comes out of. And some of you are going to be here when this happens, and you're going to look back on your life, and you're going to remember that little short, fat, dumpy nerd that you got irritated with over and over again did everything he could by the leadership of God's Spirit, which indwelled him, to warn you it was coming, and you just went ahead and wasted your whole life. It's horrible to have to watch you do it.
You don't know how horrible it is. If I hadn't studied the scriptures, if I didn't know what was coming, if I wasn't certain of what I'm telling you, then I wouldn't feel this way. But some of you are absolutely wasting your entire life. And when I try to tell you, you say, oh, Brother Michael Murray's just irritated. He's had a bad week and he's taking it out on us. God forbid! And you better wake up because you don't have much time. Hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Brother, this is going to be a time when hell opens its mouth and demons come out of it in fire and smoke. 15, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Well, you may not believe it now. You may not be humble now. You may let your own personal feelings predominate. But I guarantee you, you're going to be humbled down to the bottom of your socks when this happens. Well, we're going to leave off right there. And Lord willing, if I make it back from California, then we'll continue right there, Lord willing, next Sunday.